Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and ClearVista Financial are not affiliated. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Welcome to the next episode of the Spin Life Well Show. My name is Matthew Boudreau. We are here in the studio with Mark Trice and Michael Borland. Today, we are going to tackle the topic of preparing your child to go to college. Lots of uncertainty going on right now, and that combined with a new world of preparing to send your child to college, all the different things that come along with that, we're going to jump in and get into the dirty details today.
Well, I'm pleased to introduce our guest today is Michael Borland with Witt McGregor and Borland PLLC here in Central Texas, and they serve clients all around Central Texas and beyond. And we've invited Michael in today to talk about the legal aspects of sending your child to college and things as parents we need to prepare for and make sure our children are prepared for before they head off to that new chapter in life. Michael, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
So this topic actually has a, not only because you're an attorney, but because you have a child that's headed off to college this fall.
Absolutely. No, it has particular personal relevance to me, Mark.
So let's jump right in. What are some of the things as parents we need to make sure, because I guess legally our child is now an adult. They're 18 and on their own.
That's right. We're now dealing with adults, whether we believe so or not.
Yeah, we it kind of depends on every child, I guess.
But and it depends on the day.
And the mama involved, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so there are, Mark, there are a number of legal documents that we need to look at.
So let's jump right in. What's one of the first ones as it deals with really the health of our children in this COVID environment?
Yeah, you know, one thing that people don't often think about is they're accustomed to making medical decisions for their kids. You go with your kids to the doctor. You consult with the doctors. You talk with them about, you know, the best course of treatment if your kids have asthma or if they have other illnesses or just if as things arise, you know, they fall and break a bone, what have you. Well, now we're dealing with a legal adult. And so there's a different set of rules that apply. And one of the first things that comes up is federal privacy. And there's a federal act called HIPAA. And so you need a medical authorization once a person becomes an adult to access their information.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So the HIPAA release is a document. I know we often sometimes will sign one when we go to the doctor's office or go have a procedure in the hospital. But that technically is for that event only or for that physician.
That's right. Typically, when you're signing it for a particular institution, then you're signing it for them. But the document I would be referring to is more of a general form that could be used anywhere you go.
Okay. All right. Good.
So, Michael, does that form, is it not commonly offered by the school or university? Is that something that needs to be taken care of outside of that relationship?
Typically, I would say yes. They're not looking at that aspect of things. They're not. At least our experience, I guess I can speak to our experience with Baylor is I haven't seen them offer that, and that's not picking on them. It's just maybe not on their mind. It's not their concern. It's ours. But one thing I would definitely recommend, it's an easy form to obtain and to complete is a HIPAA authorization form. And so what that allows you to do is you get in a scenario where your kid has an illness or, Lord forbid, a car wreck. And we need to be able to talk to the doctors about what is the status of poor Timmy. Well, now we're able to do that.
Right. I remember the story of a friend of a client of ours that had a child that was assaulted in Austin. And they were actually in a coma. And she was 24 years old. And the parents rushed to the hospital wanting to know what was going on with their child. And the physician there with a straight face, because I know this is the law, but I haven't met too many doctors that won't at least, you know, console you or tell you what's going on with your child, even though they're an adult, but that's the law. The physician there, the attending in the ER, basically with a straight face said, "I'm sorry, she's an adult. and we have to protect her privacy. I'm not allowed to discuss her prognosis or condition. And that family ended up having to go to court to sue for guardianship. And it took 3 or 4 weeks before they could get in there and get engaged in their single daughter, but adult daughter, and in her treatment and care. And I guess that really kind of leads to the next document I think that you might talk about is do we need to have our children give us permission to act on their behalf should the need arise medically?
Absolutely. So a document that goes right along with the HIPAA or the medical authorization is a medical power of attorney. And so the difference between the two, I think it's often they're confused. One gives you access to information, but the other one gives you authority to make decisions, if that makes sense. And so with a medical authorization, a HIPAA authorization, I could find out what's wrong with my son, mm-hmm. but I have no authority to participate in the medical decision-making. So the doctor might be able to tell me what happened to him, but I might not be able to participate in the decision-making. With the medical power of attorney, that gives me the ability, when they can't speak for themselves, if they're incapacitated, to then weigh in on that decision. I think that's really important. And one other thing I did want to mention on that, the way that a medical power of attorney is set up, you typically will have one person, not multiple people, because doctors really don't want to get in a situation where mom and dad or parents don't necessarily agree on what's the best course of action. So my advice to people is to pick one or the other in priority order and then put the other one as an alternative.
Yeah, I guess you don't want your medical decisions being done by a committee of your relatives.
Correct, and we've seen the stories in the news over the years of when committees of family members try to make decisions and the chaos that ensues.
Right, right. Well, that kind of makes me think about just a power of attorney in general. I mean, oftentimes, I mean, in the case of your child, you know, he's going to a local college, but some of our kids are taking off and going across the country. And how do we handle their affairs while they're gone, should we need to as parents?
That's a great point, Mark. And I think, you know, there's a couple things I want to address there. First of all, the general, what we call in Texas, a statutory durable power of attorney, that deals with financial decisions. It deals with those sorts of practical things. So think about bank accounts. About any bills that your children might have. Signing tax returns. Now, they're actually going to have to file tax returns at some point, we hope. And we hope they're earning enough income to justify a tax return.
We can only claim them for a while.
That's right. But what about if they need to break or apply for a lease? You know, a lot of times we deal with leases, especially as they are on campus. And so to have a power of attorney would allow you to be involved in that conversation with the landlord, which I think a lot of times parents would take great comfort in being able to help with that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so the other thing that you mentioned that I think is really pertinent is out of state, right? So a lot of our friends, a lot of our acquaintances are going to be sending, and a lot of people listen to this podcast are going to be sending people out of state.
Mm-hmm.
Their children are going to go out into the great unknown. and you know, one thing that happens is if you're in a different state, different laws apply. And so my recommendation to folks that are sending their kids out of state is not only to have a power of attorney here in Texas so that they can address any issues here, but also to get a power of attorney executed in whatever state they move to, albeit on a temporary basis.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I know your son's very intelligent, very mature, but I don't know too many other 18-year-olds that have experience in negotiating leases and other types of contracts.
No, even at this juncture, I would probably want to help.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, Matt, do you remember when you went off to college? At that time, at least in my day, the grades went home. And mom and dad often had a copy of the grades before I even knew what they were. But I think that's kind of changed now a little bit.
Accessible online.
All accessible online, except I think now there are regulations in place where the student has to give permission and access to who they want to be able to see their grades. I don't know if I like that or not.
I don't like that at all.
It might be a challenge to get some of my kids' grades.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mark, one interesting thing about that is that we have what's called FERPA, we've got an acronym for everything, right? Or the Federal Education Rights Privacy Act, and that's what kind of addresses the topic that you're talking about. The good news for parents is if your child is claimed as a dependent on your tax return, you get access.
All right.
They figure if you're paying for it, you get to know what's going on.
I was about to say, if I'm co-signing the, or if I'm signing on the student loan, I'd be able to know what's going on.
I can promise you this. I wouldn't be signing off on the bill to Baylor unless I knew what was going on.
That actually sounds like a reasonable situation.
Yeah.
However, you know, there are situations where parents, for whatever reason, are not claiming them as a dependent on their tax return.
Sure.
And or there may be a situation, I mean, I know you guys have encountered it, where another family member is very significant, an aunt, an uncle, grandparent, what have you. In those cases, we definitely need to address that. And so basically what happens with the institution, and a lot, like I think Matt alluded to this, a lot of it's done online now. My son selected all of his classes online, selected and met his roommate online, so on and so forth. We live in a digital world, and so typically these consents are available online. But another practical thing that I think Matt mentioned that I hadn't even thought about but has played out in our experience is that you need to know usernames and passwords to sign into accounts with the institution so that you can practically get to those grades, because even if you have a consent, if you don't know how to log in, you're out of luck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good points, Michael. Is there anything else that we're missing that we think we should visit about today about sending our kids off to college?
You know, I think it is a time of uncertainty. You kind of touched on that at the beginning, Mark, but I think we should take encouragement. I mean, this group of seniors is really being prepared in a way that not many seniors before them, at least in recent memory, have, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've gone through some disappointments, some hardships. You know, we might not view them as such, but I think really they've gone through a lot of trauma. And so I think that they're going to be better prepared than we think. And so I think the steps we should take as parents is to just do some of these basic things to be ready to go so that we can help them.
All right, Michael, thanks so much.
Well, I think the biggest thing today, at least as I'm sitting here listening to this, you know, we just finished planning, preparing to set up a webinar, a college planning webinar, and a lot of that has to do with the financial side. Well, this kind of opens my eyes. I have a junior in high school getting ready to prepare just the process of going to college. And, you know, with the school district that we're sitting in right now, we usually just wait for the email to inform us, hey, this is going on. This is what you as a parent needs to think about. These are the forms that need to be brought out. Well, as they turn into adults, we may not be spoon-fed all of those forms, all of those legal situations. And this is just a reminder to me to dig in a little bit more, pay attention to the details that are out there, and depend on more than the school or the institution that they are attending to be involved and to be aware of the decisions that need to be made. So if you're listening to today and hopefully learned something new but need a little bit more information or a little bit more encouragement, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Our contact information is in the show notes. So please take a look there. Let us know how we can help you. Hope this was helpful. Hope it was informative. And we thank you, Michael, for being with us today and sharing all that you brought to the situation.
Glad to be with you guys.
Yeah, thank you. So we will see you guys next time on the Spin Life Well Show. Have a great week.